the spirit life. And it is very important, my brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. There's tremendous potential in living the spirit life. There's tremendous benefit in living the spirit life. This is what Christ came for us to have. If a Christian misses this, he will miss the core issue of Christianity. If a Christian misses this, he will live in the flesh. And the flesh will profit you nothing. It is important that you understand what you have agreed to be, what you accepted. It's important that you understand Christianity, how it works, so that you live a Christian life. And not just living a Christian life, so you benefit, have all the benefits of being a Christian. So if you don't understand the spirit life, you are going to live the carnal life. There's nothing else. That's what is going to happen. But if you live the carnal life, you can't please God. You can't please God. You cannot win battles. The flesh will profit nothing. And you live under bondage of sin. You'll be struggling as long as you're living that kind of life. So it's important that you understand the spirit life. Living the spirit life. Let's say it together. I want you to say it louder. And to emphasize the importance of this, look at what the Holy Spirit said in Romans 7:4. And this is New Living Translation. Romans 7:4. See what it tells us there. It says, my dear brothers and sisters, that is all of us, that this is the point. This is the point. You died to the power of the law when you died with Christ. And now, everybody say, and now. And now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. As a result of this, we can now produce what? A harvest of good deeds for God. Understand what the Spirit of God is saying. He said you died to the law. You are dead to the law. The law is not the means of producing righteousness for you. The law is not the means of producing good deeds. The law is not the means. Church, the law is not the means. He says, we die to the power of the law. We are dead. We don't respond to it. When you came to Christ, you jettisoned the law. It's not part of... I'm not done with that scripture. Put it back. You jettisoned the law. You totally jettisoned it. And so the reason now that you're able to bear fruit is because you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. And who is that one? Jesus Christ. It's because you are united with Christ. Not because of 10 commandments. Listen to me, church. Not because of 10 commandments. It's because of Christ. Because you are united with Christ. If you don't unite with Christ, you cannot bear good fruit. You cannot produce good deeds. It's not going to happen. The Bible says that if righteousness came from the Lord, then Christ died what? In vain. He wasted his time. So I'm not done. And so you need to understand what the scripture is saying. And now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. As a result, we can produce a harvest of good deeds for God. Continue, verse 5. We're going all the way to verse 6. Verse 5. When we were controlled by our old nature, which means before we came to Christ, we only had our natural being, our nature from our parents. Before we came to Christ, we only had that nature that we had when we were born of our parents. So we were controlled by that old nature. Sinful desires were at work within us. And the law, see what the law did? Aroused this evil desire. Because you see, if by nature I'm rebellious, if there is no law to rebel against, I'll be quiet. But the day you give me law, what will a rebellious person do? Rebel. So what aroused that rebel in him, that rebellious nature, is the law you gave him. Now, if I'm rebellious by nature and there is no law here, nothing, I'll keep quiet because there's nothing to rebel against. I can only rebel when I see something to... So God comes and says to me, he said, Pastor, from now on, you are not supposed to pass... Now, I have seen something to... So that rebellious nature in me, what does he do? He rises up and breaks the law because that's what he does. That's what the Bible is saying. He said the law arouses that sinful nature in us because that sinful nature likes to break laws. So read it again. So when we were controlled by our old nature, before we came to Christ, before we became born again, that which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. We were born of the flesh first in the maternity. Some of you were born in the room, in the kitchen. Why are you laughing? Some were born in the market. Some were born in a farm. Very resilient women, very strong women. They had their babies in the farm. And other women will use cloth to cover them. And they wash the baby in warm water. No antiseptic, nothing. They cut the umbilical cord. That's what they used to do now. They use wrapper and cover. And all the men will give them space. If virtually half of the women in the village were midwives. Some of you came that way. Now you are here. You don't want me to tell people how you came. Now I'm telling on you. That's how you came. Right in the village. That's where you were born. Praise the Lord. We can imagine the resilience and the strength we had that time. If you did that in America, it would be news. All the networks were carried that this baby was born in the farm. And they will arrest the father and the mother for child abuse. But we did it and survived. Man, God created us tough. I'm telling you. Somebody shout hallelujah. We are rugged. We are really, really rugged. I drank dirty water called Uchu. Very dirty. That's why you shower. That's why you wash. We saw and you washed that. And we drank it. We said it was healing. It didn't heal anybody. But we survived. Rugged. We really survived. I'm telling you. So the natural one that is born of your parents is what the scripture is saying. That this is what we were before we came to Christ. To acquire this new life of the spirit. That when we were controlled by our old what? Nature. What happened? Sinful desires were at work. Why? Because that nature was what? Was sinful. It didn't have God in it. It was sinful by nature. It's flesh. The flesh of sin. Paul said, this my flesh, there's nothing good. That's when somebody dies, it decays, goes back to where I came from. It's done. It cannot be redeemed. So he says, sinful desires were at work in us, and the law did what? Arouse those evil desires. You want to prove whether this is true? You go to your house and tell your children, this door, don't enter it anymore. And watch, put a camera and watch what will happen. That is where they will all go. But they'll start by weeping. Then they'll go and tell the other person, say, see that place? I think I saw. So the more audacious ones will go closer and push it. And by the fifth day, they have opened it. They've gone inside there. I did that, and you did that. So that's what the Bible is saying. The law simply arouses evil desires that produced a harvest of what? Sinful deeds, resulting in death. So you see, it's giving you what we were before we came to Christ and what we are after we came to Christ. Now in verse 6, this is where it now summarizes it all. But now, you see, before we said, but now, he said, but now because you are joined to Christ, you are not able to produce good deeds. But before you were joined to Christ, you were only producing evil deeds. Now, he said, but now we have been released from the law now. Church, think about it. We're released from the law. Why do you want to go there? The Spirit of God is saying, we've been released from this law now because all it does is arouse evil things in us. It never really gave us freedom. He said, for we die to it and are no longer captive to what? His power. He said, now we can serve God not in the old way of what? Obeying the law. Not in the old way of what? Obeying the law. The letters of the law. I want to say that again. Not in the old way of what? Obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of what? Living in the Spirit. It's simple. You cannot serve God by clinging to the law of Moses, do's and don'ts of Moses. You say you, because that will produce a harvest of evil deeds. He said, but the only way you can serve God now, so you produce good deeds, is by living in the Spirit. So it will be important to you to find out from God and say, what do we mean by living in the Spirit? So that I know, so that I can serve God the way He produces good deeds for me. Do you know that the church, basically, the body of Christ, is basically, there's a lot of carnality going on. Because people just say, I'm born again, and they go to church and go home. That's it. They go to church and go home, fast and pray and do that. It's wonderful. But let me tell us the truth. If you don't serve God by living in the Spirit, you'll be serving God in the flesh, fasting and all. If you don't serve God by living in the Spirit, you'll be serving God in the flesh, fasting and all. Even you are coming to church, everything be flesh. Unless you understand how to live in the Spirit, so that by your Spirit, Jesus said that God wants us to serve Him in what? In Spirit and not in the flesh. Not in the flesh. That's what God says. I'm looking for people who understand the new way. Everybody say the new way. Come on, say it louder. The new way. So these scriptures are simply simplifying what Jesus said to us in John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. So again, before you were born of the Spirit, you are flesh. That's what he's saying. You are flesh. And this flesh produces sin. Now you come to Christ, you become a new creature. You are born again. You are born again. You are born again because Christ came. You received Jesus into your life. When you receive Jesus into your life, the Bible said you are joined to Him so that through His activity in your life, you are now able to produce good deeds, which is His life flowing through you as a vessel. Jesus is not flesh. Tell your neighbor what I said. Jesus is Spirit. Because he came to us by His Spirit. Not by His flesh. He came to us by His Spirit. So He joined to our Spirit. And because we are now joined to Him, He lives in us. And He came to take all the burdens of life away from you and I. You want to be holy. You want to be righteous. You want to do the will of God. You want to do. He said, give me all that burden and be in rest. Let me do it for you. It's simple. Praise the Lord, church. So, the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of the gospel in Colossians 1:26. Colossians 1:26. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ what? In you. Which is what? Christ what? In you. Which is what? Christ in you. My brother, come. Today is your turn. Christ what? In you. So this is Christ there. This is me. Is He in me? Huh? They don't like you. They say you're not. Is He in me yet? And He is the glory of God. And without Him, I can do. So everything I'm doing without Him is absolutely what? Nothing. So I cannot bear fruits unto God. I cannot do what pleases God without Him. And then I'm not born again, so I'm all flesh. All I'm doing is flesh without Him. In fact, let's see what the scripture says without Him. Before you don't go yet, I will get you in. If you don't laugh, I'll tell you to sit down. He's coming in, so let's give your man a little while. Look at what the Bible says in Ephesians 2:12 before He comes in. Ephesians 2:12. That at that time, you were without what? So He was outside you. Outside, right? So you were without Christ, being what? Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. And what again? strangers from the covenant, the promises were not, wasn't for us. Having what? No hope, and without who? God in this world. He was still outside. And the Bible says, hopeless life. No hope at all. Without God, no promises, nothing. Had nothing to do with God. So, now, if this is my life, isn't it a pitiable life? And now somebody, brothers and sisters, sees me and preaches to me that you need to receive Christ so that he becomes your hope of, remember that without him, there is no hope. Now, if he's outside and I'm struggling, doing everything to please God, how far can I go? Church, I'm asking you. Now, he's outside and they gave me the law. Moses brought us the law and Jesus hadn't come. We are still without hope. Unless he comes in, there's no hope. See, if you don't know him, you will think the law is what will give you the hope. You cling to those laws and present to God your righteousness, and God said, it's filthy rag. This is the hope. This is your hope. Not those things. Not the law. This is your hope. This is your hope. If it doesn't come in, I have nothing to do with you. You can't come to the Father except through him. You can't come through the law and what you do. You're wasting your time. This is why church must understand Christianity and understand the role Jesus plays. So you place your faith on him, you see God open up for you. All the struggles will come. Prayers is easy. Because without him, there's no hope, even in prayer, whatever. He is the only hope of glory. Now he comes in. So he comes in. Let's change the scripture now. Now he comes. You're not smiling. Are you the real Jesus, or do you find your wife? I think your wife will do, but can we get the wife? I think don't mind me. I'm just joking. So let's change the scripture. Are you following me? Now let's change the scripture now to Colossians 1:26. It says, even the mystery which had been hid from ages. What is that mystery? That he is the hope of mankind. He was hid, and God gave us the law. And the law showed us that we are flesh, that we can't do anything. So now he was hid, so the law was given. But after the law, he was now revealed. He said, even the mystery which had been hid from the ages and but now is being manifest to his saints. What is that? Continue. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. That this mystery has riches of glory among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ, where? In you, the hope. When he was outside, there was no hope, no glory, no riches, no promises, no life, nothing. But now he comes with the riches of the glory that he comes with, immense glory of God he comes with into your life. Now he's the hope of glory. Now that I have him, what is my hope of glory? Him. If I don't know him, I will ignore him and still go back to these things and think that this is my hope of glory. And this is why, if I want to pray, this, if I go to God, this is where my confidence will be. And God will say, that's not your hope. I can't do this. This is not it. This, why? Because everything you are doing is worthless. It's only what it does that is perfect. Only what it does is acceptable to me. Only what he does is perfect. Only what Jesus does is perfect. His sacrifice, perfect. His blood, perfect. He prayed through him, perfect. Anything that comes through him, I accept. Anything he does. So he's my only hope of glory. And then talk about my life. It is his life issuing through me that God accepts, not what I do. What he does. And he can't do anything if I ignore him and focus on myself, focus on this, trying to please God, trying to show God. And God says, no, without faith in him, it is impossible to please me. What you are doing is wasting your time. If you could do this, there is no need for me to hang him on the cross and punish him to that extent so that he will come to you. There's no need. Why should I punish him if you can do this? And no, it's because without him, you are finished. This is the only hope of glory. So he comes in. Now, and the scripture says to me, look unto what? Don't take your eyes off him, because he's the only hope of glory you have. The life of glory comes from him. Prayer that reveals my glory comes from him. Everything that shows the glory of God is through him. Now, if I know what I'm doing, where should I focus? I'm asking you, why should I focus? You know what the devil wants me to do? I will bring me teachers who will focus me on the law. And I ignore the hope of glory that God sent to me. The mystery of God that carries the glory of God. The key to heaven. I ignore him. And when I ignore him, I'll be frustrated. Totally frustrated. I won't even know what I'm doing because I'll be walking in darkness because he's the light. He's the light that lightens every man that comes into this world. Praise the Lord. Oh, he said everybody should now pass through him. Did you get what I'm trying to illustrate? Is this simpler? Huh? Is this simpler now? Somebody shout hallelujah. Now, because he now came, Iman, come back. We are not done. I just want to make sure we grasp this thing because this is important, the spirit life. Because he's here and he has given me his life, right? And he's God, right? And now I have his life. He told me, I've come that you have what? I have it what? Now I have his life. Because his life is in me, I have also become the child of his father. So God automatically is also now my father. Why is God my father? Because of him. But you think God is your father because of what you do? No. God is your father, will always remain your father simply because of him. Why? Because I am joined to him. His life is now my life. And because his life is now my life, automatically his father becomes my father. Jesus said, I've come to your father, to my father, and to your father. And now, since we are joined and I have his life, everything that belongs to him now, what? That's how the promises become your own. They're not your own because you obey the law. They're your own because of him. Because he's the one with the richest of the glory of God. And then you join to him, you also begin to share in that glory that he brought to you, free of charge. You say, Pastor, but I don't merit it. I don't either. But that's the love of God. Is anybody following me? And now, because he's in me, Brother Ndokwe, can you come and stand there? I want the church to see you. I want to tell them about somebody from your village. Now, because he's in me, now let's say, for instance, this is the world. This is what? That's the purposes of illustration. That this is the world, and he is the one in charge of, you are not, I'm just trying to illustrate it. He is the God of this world, right? Now, we are now in the world, and then the God of this world is here, and he wants to confront me and do things to me. And now I am joined to this one, and here I am coming. I want you to watch us. Between this one that is in charge of the world and this one, who is greater? Huh? I'm not hearing you. Who is greater? Who is greater? So I'm coming. And if I don't know this one, I will think that it's what I do that will overcome this one. And he will deal with me mercilessly. I would think it's my fasting and all those things that will deal with this man. No. The only answer to this man is him. So when I come, I say, in his name, he gets out. Because the greater one is what? Remember, he's the mystery of God that carries all the glory and riches of God. The mightiness, in him dwells the power and glory of Godhead. Bodily. He's the fullness of God right there. And this one sees him and knows that here comes God. And you say, in the name of who? What does he do? Out he goes. And then he sees, and His blood was shed for me. Perfect blood flowed right there in the presence of God. That blood is for me. And I said to him, he shed his blood for me. All your accusations are worthless. Because the blood takes care of that. So he doesn't have answer to me. He can't bruise my conscience anymore. Because I have a clear conscience. Because the blood washes me of what? So we pass through. And see how I'm going to be passing? I was glad when they say he's watching me. You know he's watching me. He can do nothing. When they say, let us go into. Why? My confidence is in him. And I cannot be put to shame. I've relied on him. He has overcome him. He has talk of sin. The Bible said he came to deal with sin in the flesh. I can't handle it. So he came. He said to me, rest. Give me those. You want to please God? Yeah, give it to me. You want to live holy? Yeah, give it to me. The Lord couldn't give it to you. I came to give it to you. And then I hand him everything. Then I trust him. He deals with this thing himself. You can't deal with it. You cannot. The Bible said, through his power, you put to death all the what? Deeds of this thing. Only his power can handle it. So when I take my whole life and handle, that's what giving your life to Christ means. That's what it means. Take all your life and hand over to him. I said, you are the one now living like Paul. I can't win. I can't overcome this thing. I can't. But you can. Once I trust him, his power becomes my power. The Lord is the strength of what? Of my life. Julie, that's when I can say, of whom can I fear? Why? He's now the strength that takes on these desires that bother me. He takes it on. And when he takes it on, this one can't do nothing. And what do? Relax. Enter his rest. It's called faith. The just shall live. Is anybody getting what I'm saying? So now I'm flourishing. I don't struggle. The temptations do come, yeah. But I have the shield of faith in him. When they come, they drop. Because the Lord is the strength. Of whom? And even if I sin, he's my advocate before the Father. He said, I shed my blood for him. He's still mine. Are we in church? Does anybody get this? Eh? Can somebody shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
He's greater than the one in the world and all the works of the one in the world. He came to destroy all his works, everything crushed, because he carries the riches of divine glory. His name is who? Jesus. The hope of my glory, the hope of your glory, the hope of your glory. If you are faced with anything in life, the hope of glory there is who? Christ. You can see that. Thank you. Now, I want to show you where the trouble now. Marcus. You know all these things we say? You may not really understand it except the Holy Spirit reveals it. I'm telling you, this is not Bible knowledge. It's not Bible class. It's not a theological seminary. You know, when Peter said to Jesus, thou art the Christ, Jesus said, flesh and blood cannot what? Reveal me to you. It's only my Father. That Christ lives in you. This thing we're saying can get excited, go outside and forget it. I won't even know to trust him. Because things can come on you, forget Jesus. But the Holy Spirit reveals him to you. And that was the thing that Paul was emphasizing to the church. Look at Romans 8:3. I'm reading Message. I want to explain all of these things that Message, the Message translation explained all of these things that I just demonstrated before we go to the final point. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. God went for the what? Jugular. Do you know what jugular is? Jugular vein is the most important. Is it the most important vein? Or one of the most important veins? If it cuts, you are gone. So he went for the jugular when he sent his own what? Son. He didn't deal with the problem as something remote and unimportant. In his son, Jesus, God personally took on human what? Condition. Entered the disorder mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right. How many times? Once and for all. The law code, weakened as it always was by fractured human nature, could never have done that. Continue. The law always ended up being used as a what? Band-aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. Now, what the law code asks for, but we couldn't deliver, is accomplished as we, instead of doing what? Redoubling our effort, which is what we do. We redouble our effort. Simply do what? Embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. That's what I just demonstrated. Instead of redoubling your effort, redouble, as I told the men yesterday, I said it's not in obeying the law. It's in more faith. Embracing what the Spirit is doing in us. Let's continue. The law always ended, continue now. Those who think they can do it on their own end up doing what? Obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is where? In them. Living and doing what? Beating God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out to the open, into a spacious, free life. Verse 6. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self does what? Ignores God. Ends up thinking more about self than. So he thinks more about what he has done than Christ that is in him. And so he says, that person ignores who God is and what he is doing, and God is in place at being ignored. Can I hear amen? Now, the problem becomes really coming to know that Christ lives in me all the time. Really coming to acknowledge his presence in me. That's what I told you. I said, only the Spirit of God can reveal that. And because people are really not interested in knowing him, they don't get to know these things. You can mentally hear it, mentally talk about it, but it has to transcend your mental stuff and go into a reality that you believe. It becomes a substance. Christ in you becomes a real personality that you know that lives in you. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth, what? Again. Until Christ be formed where? In you. What he's saying, until Christ's presence becomes real in you. I travail in birth again. I pray. I teach. I emphasize it. He said, I'm going to labor all over again. Because you people moved away from focusing on Christ to focusing on something else. He said, I'm going to travel in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Look at Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is name. Paul, why are you bowing your knees? Why are you praying? So you also know the prayer topic that you can pray in this season. In this season. So that you can learn to live the spirit life. This is a serious thing. Very serious thing. Very, very important. So you learn to know this, the kind of prayer you too can pray in this season. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is what? Named, 16. That he will grant you, according to the riches again of his glory, Christ, the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit, where? Through his spirit that lives in you. That you come to begin to experience the strength of that spirit of Christ that lives in you. He repeats what he wrote to the Galatians here, that Christ may, the next verse, 17, that Christ may dwell where? How? Through faith. You see, he wrote to the Galatians, he said, I'm going to travel again until the reality of Christ in you becomes real to you. It becomes something you know. Now he writing to the Ephesians, he said, I'm praying that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being now rooted and what? Grounded in love, may be able now to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You see what he's praying about? He says, I'm praying that Christ be formed in you, that Christ dwell in you. Are there not Christians who have received Christ? They have. But what he's saying is that the reality of his presence in you is not there. It's not there. He says, so I'm praying that his presence, his tangible presence becomes real in you by faith. He said, when he becomes real in you, I want you to listen to this. When he becomes real in you, then his strength begins to manifest in you and begins to strengthen you to do those things which are not humanly possible. Then, listen, then he said, his spirit will begin to reveal to you the love of God which passes human understanding. That's when you activate Christ that lives in you. Otherwise, he will be there dormant. He'll be there dormant. Because you don't acknowledge him. The Bible says, in all their ways, do what? You cannot acknowledge him unless you believe and realize that Christ lives in me 24/7. When that reality comes to you, and you know he's there, you know he is there, you can say like David, even if I pass through the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, because I know you are there. I know you're there. I know you're there. I know you're there. I know you're where? You're there. But Paul said, I need to travel again. That's why we teach these things over and over and over. I travel, we pray, we teach it again. We say, this is important, this is important. Christ lives in you, you got to know it. This is not 10 commandments. You know, when Paul was abandoned by his colleagues, there was a time he was left alone by his colleagues. They left him alone. You know, he said, it's true that all of these people have what? Left me. He said, but Christ has not what? Left me. I know his presence in me. I know his presence in me. And when you begin to know his presence in you, that's when your communion with him will come more alive. That's when he can teach you. Where he can begin to reveal to you the things that are beyond knowledge. That's where he can talk to you about your life. That's where you can see him come alive every day, even in your office. Your conversation with him becomes so real because he is real. But if he's not real, you will forget him. You are going to forget him very, very quickly. And then you know why Paul talked about the Galatian church, that he's going to travel again until Christ is formed in them, is because of what they did. Now, I want to show you what this church did. Galatians chapter 3, from verse 1 to verse 6. Let's read the message. I don't know. Am I communicating to you? So before I read it, are you sure I'm communicating to you? So what did I say is the most important thing now? I think you said I'm communicating. What is the most important thing now? Huh? Yes. To come to full conviction of the reality of his presence, what? Regardless of your imperfections. Regardless of your imperfections. Now, this is a church that, look at what they did. Galatians 3 from verse 1 to verse 6. He said, you crazy, what? What does it mean to be crazy? Acola, right? Huh? They lost, the Americans say you lost it. That is, you gone. So he called them crazy. Why are they crazy? Did someone put a hex on you? What is putting a hex? Huh? What is putting a hex? Some of you went to one grammar school in one village. You don't know what hex is. What is putting a hex? Huh? Bewitching you. Making you lose your mind. He said, did someone put a hex on you? Have you taken leave of your senses? Something crazy has what? Happened. An entire church. He said, this is crazy. Something really happened. For it's obvious that you no longer have the crucified Jesus clear. You no longer have the crucified Jesus in what? Clear focus where? In your lives. You missed the point now. You've gone crazy. You want to, the spirit life is no more what you are living. You moved away from what God said, you can't serve me this way. You know, his sacrifice on the cross was certainly said before you clearly enough. So what did they do wrong? What did he say they did wrong? I will just read, okay, let me read it again. You crazy Galatians, did someone put a hex on you? Have you taken leave of your senses? Something crazy has happened. For it is obvious that you no longer have the crucified Jesus in clear focus in your life. So what did they do wrong? They no longer had Jesus living in them in their focus. They've gone into other things. And Paul said, somebody must put a curse on you to behave this way. Because you take your eyes off him, you're done, finished. You're done. You're done. You see why he said, I'm going to travel again until he becomes real again in you. So he said, verse 2, let me put this question to you. How did your new life begin? Was it by walking your head off to please God? Somebody answer that. How did you become a Christian? You simply believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, or was it by responding to God's message to you? Are you going to continue this what? Craziness. For only crazy people would think they could complete by their own effort what was begun by God. If you weren't smart enough or strong enough to begin it, how do you suppose you could perfect it? Did you go through the whole painful learning process for nothing? It is not yet a total loss, but it certainly will be if you keep on doing this kind of stuff. Total loss. So that's why he wrote to them. Let's go back to that Ephesians 3, verse 14. See what he said he's going to do now. See what he says he's going to do now. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to be praying, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He said, this is what I'm going to do. That I'm going to, verse 15. Did you put 15? 15. From okay, his name, okay, 16. That he will grant you. Something is missing in that. Okay. Yeah. He said that he will grant you according to the riches of what? Who is Christ? To be strengthened now with might through his spirit. That is where? In your inner man, the spirit of Christ. That's where your strength comes from. That's where your strength comes from. He's the one at work in us to will and to do his good pleasure. Then Numbers, verse 6, 17. That Christ may dwell where? In your heart through faith. So that you now, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able now, you now be able. Because if you don't know Christ that is alive in you, you will not be able to comprehend these things. Because he's going to reveal these things to you. This is why we receive the Spirit of Christ. So that will show us things that belongs to us. He may not be able to comprehend with all sense what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. That now the result is that you may now be filled with all the fullness of God. You see how the benefit of living the Spirit life is simply trusting the Spirit of Christ that lives in you, so that he will bring into your human experience the fullness of divine life. He's the one that brings it into full expression, the fullness of divine life. Nobody else can do that. He reveals the love of God to you and manifests the fullness of the love of God, so that your life begins to reflect the love of God when you talk, when you deal with the people, and he takes care of your flesh. The fullness of divine life begins to manifest in our lives. So you see why he said, you must have lost your mind if you think you can produce this kind of thing by yourself. You say you're crazy. You started by receiving Christ by faith. Now you want to push him away and start focusing on all these things you do and all these things you do. He said, no, that's craziness. You can't. He said, if you keep doing this, you are going to lose everything. Everything is going to go. Everything. My prayer is that we will not lose everything. We have to come back to the Spirit life. Christ in us, the hope of what? Glory. Reinforce your faith in him, for he is the source of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the foundation of what God is doing in my life and your life. For there is no other foundation any man can lay except that which has already been laid, which is what? Christ Jesus. So if I build anything that's not on him, it's on quicksand, it's waste of time, it's going to be total loss. Complete loss. But if I build it on him, if I put my faith on him, my expectations on him, my ears to him, my everything on him, he becomes my all and all. Then he will manifest the fullness of God's life in my life. That's called the Spirit life. Not the carnal one, not the natural one that I was living before I met Christ, which consisted of only the things that I could do. And that's what the Lord was doing. It was showing to show us that this natural thing cannot please God. But I have to learn that and know that only by faith can a man please God. If you agree with me, shout hallelujah. I want you to bow your head and pray. I don't know what you had.